Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and they got a lot of stuff going on. And unfortunately, some bad news as well, that being Hurricane Ian. So we're ripped through just yesterday, and it's now down to a tropical storm. But all the best to the people that were in its path or that may still be affected by now the tropical storm. But boy, a lot of devastation there. We've got our good friend Harrison Frazier, PGA Tour Champions, join us here in just a little bit to tell us about what's the latest thing going for him and a little bit of golf talk about, you know, Phil Mickelson had something to say. There's all kinds of stuff. Keeps happening. Patrick Reed back in the news, and we'll get into that as well. PGA Tour is at the Sanderson Farms Championships in Jackson, Mississippi, Frank's old stomping grounds, which leads us to bring in Frank Bassett in the National Studios. How you doing, Frank?
Hey, I was kind of falling asleep here, man.
You were, really?
No, not really. No, I've just been glued to the TV and the Weather Channel. It's been brutal down there, and ooh, poor people. God, pray for them. It's devastation down there. Really bad.
Now, you're in Nashville, where you, and you know, these have a big effect on a large part of the country, even if the storm's in Florida. It was to the point where they thought it might go up towards a panhandle, in which case Nashville might have been affected, but I guess now you're going to be okay?
Yeah, we'll be fine.
It's out in the Atlantic. It's
the Atlantic now. When it comes back in at Savannah or where Charleston, wherever it comes back in, if it goes north, then we'll still be fine. East Tennessee will get some rain, but you know, nothing like what they had in South Florida.
Yeah,
nothing like what, you know, Jacksonville, of course. I'm supposed to be there next week for the PGA Tour Champions event, the Jim Furyk and Friends tournament.
What's up? Any update? You know, it's
well, the weather is going to be bad. Timaquana drains pretty good. That's where the event will be held, Timaquana Country Club. It's been redone, so it drains well, but the winds, a lot of tall pine trees around there, and so don't know. I mean, just don't know what's going to happen. The issue is, how far did those people from South Florida go? Did they go to Jacksonville to stay? Are the rooms available? Because I was going to stay with, you know, our good friend Bucky, and I haven't even talked to him, so we'll just see. I may or may not be there next week. It's sort of up in the air right now.
Wow. I bet you, and speaking of that, too, not that, and this is way down the list of priorities, but the whole Naples, Fort Myers, there's some beautiful golf courses in that area. And I can imagine how devastated a lot of those courses have to be in Southwest Florida that, you know, they're going to have to do.
Well, there's, you know, a lot of mobile homes are
major repair.
And I say mobile homes, they're really not. They're modular homes, whatever. Yeah. But they're, you know, double wide, triple wides, whatever. But they're nice. I mean, if you've been in any of those, they're really nice.
They're just
they're gone.
Tied down.
They're gone. Yeah, they're gone. They're just wiped out because they're just not built. Even though they're built to a certain code, they're not built to the, you know, nothing's really built
20 mile and a 40 mile
157 range. Miles per hour when it hit.
What do you think about the weather guys? I was talking to my friend. The guys that have to stand out there and do that, I mean, to me, it's so over the top drama that they don't need to be. They want to be. They want the attention. I mean, it seems that everybody says the same thing, which is, okay, if you're going to be a farce about it, I mean, I you know, and here I get a meteorologist again, but you seriously get guys that are holding onto phone poles and everything and look like they might get blown away at any time. It's the closer to death they come, the better they feel or something. I just think it's,
well,
you
used
see
to
the
say,
effect of it. You see the effect when the waters are, and the trees are blowing and the things are coming across the street. You get the same effect without him having to stand there in a baseball
helmet do this.
And goggles.
Well, Jim Cantore yesterday, of course, he got hit and blown down by some brush. And then he got back up and struggled to get to a pole to hang on to. Stupid. That's just stupid. There's no reason to be out there in that. Let me tell you, if siding comes off or a piece, I'm not even talking metal, it'll cut your head off. Okay. Well, it'll put a straw through a tree trunk, okay, at that kind of wind, then what can it do?
You know, it makes me think of a comedian, you know, Ron White.
Oh, yeah.
I assume, right?
Oh, yeah.
Guy stands with his scotch and his cigar, right?
Good man.
And he says, I was down in Florida. And there was a meteorologist, no, a guy, we're going to have a hurricane. And the guy was going to say, guy says, you know what? I want to show that I'm in good shape, and I'm going to sit in there. I'm 62 years old, and I'm going to tie myself to a tree during this hurricane to show how I can withstand
it. Tie yourself 12 feet up then.
And he says, okay. Ron White goes, okay. Well, it's not that the wind is blowing. It's what the wind is blowing.
That's you get exactly hit
by a Volvo. He goes, you get hit by a Volvo at 140 miles an hour. It don't matter how many sit-ups you did that morning. Yeah, it's a great line, funny. Right? Because they're sitting there, it's what's blowing. There's all kinds of stuff that's out there blowing around and from somebody's house that's coming right at your head now.
Well, look at the $1 million and $2 million, $3 million yachts that are gone. They're toast.
Yeah.
And, you know, but the people, that this is what we're going to hear later today from DeSantis at 1:45 Eastern time. He'll be down there. So he's going to have a press conference. And they should have some updated, you know, door-to-door, hey, are you okay? Are you in there? Are you okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Lifting up shrapnel debris to see who's under it. So, yeah, it's really, really bad. So, anyway, thoughts and prayers go out to all those people down there. And all the people up the east coast of Florida. Daytona is being hammered right now with a lot of flooding. And flooding is such a danger in these things. And I lived in Florida for many, many, many years and went through many hurricanes living in Florida.
Yeah.
There's certain things you do and certain things you don't. And what you don't do is grab a glass of scotch and stand outside and say, you coming for me? Come on. So,
dive into wrong. A tree. So let me ask you, as a former Floridian, is it worth it? I mean, I have friends going, why do people live?
Yes, of course it's worth it. No, not for people from New York or Chicago or the West Coast. Okay, don't move there. It's not worth it. Or New Jersey. Don't move there. It's not worth it. Yeah, it's worth it, man. It's beautiful.
Really?
Absolutely.
But what about all this that you go through?
You're going to get, tornadoes through the Midwest. We get tornadoes. Tornadoes, basically what they had there was an EF5?
Yeah, but it seems
EF4 tornado? It was just big. It
seemed like they just affect a lot more people than a tornado. Well,
they do. But it's worth it.
It devastates an entire state.
It's been 100 years since one that big has hit Florida, I think, didn't they say?
I guess.
But anyway, it's, you know, hopefully the people
Punta
will be
Gorda.
Okay.
I used to, here's Punta Gorda. Punta Gorda. People wouldn't know Punta Gorda, but I do because the Texas Rangers used to train in Port Charlotte in Charlotte Bay, and that's right there, and just south of that is
but
a
they were
town
blown.
It's called Punta Gorda.
They were blown to the
There's
east
a home run
coast.
Ball that's going to be up in orbit for a while. And so we go to training camp. We stayed in Punta Gorda, to go to Port Charlotte.
Beautiful down there.
15-minute drive or something like that. And we would drive from Punta Gorda. I remember that's our hotel right there, Punta Gorda. Anyway, it's, hopefully they're going to be able to get through. Everybody gets through it somehow, some way.
Is the Old Spice commercial playing in the background somewhere?
No. Yeah, you know what that is?
What?
That's my dryer turning off.
Right? Oh, you have a Samsung dryer that sings to you when it
goes
finishes?
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, or whatever.
Actually, it's a piece of classical music that Samsung equipment plays. We won't get into that.
Steely Dan, but it didn't have that option.
Blood, sweat, and tears, baby.
Couldn't do it. Hey, when we get Harrison now, we're going to talk, as we said, the Live Tour is kind of back in action here. We got Patrick Reed. You hear about that?
Oh, yeah,
Patrick
absolutely.
Patrick Reed refiles his lawsuit.
750
against
biggins.
The Golf Channel.
And Damon Hack and Eamon Lynch and
Shane Bacon.
Shane Bacon.
And he already had Brandel in there.
And Brandel, yeah.
So he's refiled it with new names. And he's got the whole corporate in there. And he's saying that now that he's on Live Tour, it was already bad enough that they're ripping on him for being a cheater and all these other things. Now they're saying, and according to the lawsuit, that they're accusing him of taking dirty money. He's a terrorist, all these other things because of the Live Tour. And he's like, I've had it. Enough's enough's enough. And his attorneys are saying that. So he's going after him big time. And it's going to be really interesting. Now that's aside from the other lawsuit between some of the players in the Live Tour and the PGA for their monopolistic actions that they're claiming. Sure. This is different. This is a different one, but it kind of combines it in there too, because they say they've only gotten worse. He says they've only gotten worse, these Golf Channel people, towards him. So curious what Harrison says. And Phil came out too and said, yeah, it's never going to go back the way it was. It was always the best players PGA Tour for the last 50 years. That's what we've known. It won't be that. We've got to come to some agreement because this isn't good either. It's not good to be separate and bitching at each other all the time. So I don't know what's going to happen, but it's like two people are putting their feet down in the sand pretty hard and going, okay, we're not budging, you're not budging, but it's not good that we're going back and forth all the time. So
it's a shame. Anyway, it's a shame, but it's going to be a bad lawsuit. It has NBC, Golf Channel, Gannett, everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, Waffle House down the street. I mean, everybody's involved in this thing.
Is that right? Yeah, if anybody's going to do it,
it's
Patrick
Reed,
right?
Got a bad waffle yesterday morning.
Patrick Reed is
I love Waffle House, by the way.
Okay. A burr in his saddle for his entire career. So if it's anybody's going to do it, it's probably him. So we'll see how this shakes out. Congrats to our buddy Paul Stankowski.
Yes, yes.
What a heck of a finish he had at Pebble Beach. Comes within a shot of winning the Pure Championship at Pebble Beach on the PGA Tour Champions. He got tied for second, best he's ever done there, and Anyway, congratulations.
Well, that five under on Saturday at Spyglass was that's a heck of a score, and he was tied for the lead at 8 under par going into the final round. So strong. So, congrats, Paul. We love
just
you, pal.
Lost by one shot. Absolutely. So that was kind of cool. It's nice because remember when he started going, he's like, I don't know how I'm going to do. I don't have any status. I don't have anything else. I got to pay my way. Go here, go there, see if I can afford to do all this stuff and get back and play golf. And
sounds like Golf Talk America.
His last couple of tournaments, little Paul's won about $250,000. So,
yeah.
Pretty nice.
Yeah,
pretty
let's
nice.
See if he'll buy us lunch. I'm flying to Dallas today.
Lunch is on him, all the golf balls you can hit. So, all right, let's take a quick break. And as I said, we got another good player on the PGA Tour Champions, Harrison Frazier, ready to talk to us about whatever's going on in his world. Scotty Scheffler, in particular, probably bring up Scotty. Known him for a long, long time. And a little bit of President's Cup, so we got a lot to talk to Harrison about. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and Frank and I will be back right after this.
Fall is chaos in your pants. You're overheated 1 second and freezing the next. To be ready for anything, you need underwear that can handle everything. It's time for Tommy John underwear. In Tommy John underwear, you're that much more comfortable, so you can do everything better. Name a problem with other underwear, and Tommy John's solved it. Tommy John's breathable, lightweight fabric has 4 times the stretch of competing brands. They come with a no-wedgie guarantee, thanks to a non-rolling waistband and legs that never ride up. Plus, they feature a horizontal quick-draw fly. Hammock pouch support stops the awkward swing and slap, giving everyone something to be grateful for. And God knows I'm grateful. You know, they've sold over 17 million pairs. People love Tommy John underwear, and that's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics, like me, and all of our friends at Golf Talk America, and all of our friends at PGA Tour Countdown, and all of our other shows. They all love the Tommy John's product. So here's what I want you to do, and listen very closely. This is important. Go to TommyJohn.com/golftalk right now for 20% off your first order. That's 20% off at TommyJohn.com/golftalk. That's TommyJohn.com/golftalk. See site for details. Forget lessons. Forget changing your swing. PXG Gen 5 golf clubs will unlock your potential and help you play your best golf ever in just one round. Built with PXG's most innovative materials and updated with new head shapes to suit every skill set, PXG Gen 5 clubs deliver cannon-like distance, laser-like accuracy, and angelic forgiveness. Order your Gen 5 clubs today at pxg.com or schedule a fitting at 844-PLAY-PXG. That's 844-PLAY-PXG. Do it today.
And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett with you, talking about a lot of stuff that we got out of the way. We got the hurricane talk out of the way, a little bit of Patrick Reed, PJ Tour. It's the Sanderson Farms, another old stomping ground. There aren't too many places we mentioned, Frank, that aren't old stomping grounds for you. You realize that?
No, really. I mean, yeah, well, I went to Ole Miss, and then I lived in Jackson, Mississippi for a number of years, and then Ponte Vedra Beach, lived at Sawgrass for a lot of years.
Everything we talk about, you've had cocktails at, it seems like. I'm just saying.
And your point. I mean, it's just Betty Ford's on line three calling Frank.
We haven't brought up the Forbes richest 400 Americans either, Frank, but we'll get to that too. There's some rich guys on that list. There's some guys that, and there's a few Texans, as a matter of fact,
that are
on that list. One name I didn't notice, though, was Harrison Frazier.
That's
He's probably
nice.
Just below the top 400 top richest 200. Americans, but he joins us now to talk about the PGA Tour Champions and Pebble Beach and a lot of other stuff. Harrison, how are you doing this morning? Thanks for being with us.
I'm good. Yeah, I'm just barely outside that top 400. That's that's a tough one.
But he and Elon are having lunch this afternoon to discuss a new business venture.
Yeah, right?
Okay.
A couple of
putts
here and there.
Just punch me in.
Elon's new
capital and everything else, and I'm there.
Yeah, Elon's new theme is going to be nobody builds rockets the way we do. Period.
Yeah, period. So, PSG. So tell us about the Pebble Beach, the Pure Championship we were talking about before we got to you. Paul Stankowski did exceptionally well, the best he's ever done on the PGA Tour Champions, getting a tie for second. Comes down to the last hole for him, so that's all the drama you could hope for. But as you were saying, and Paul said, and almost everybody does, one of your favorite walks, if not your favorite walk in golf, is playing out there in Monterey Peninsula, right?
Yeah, I love the peninsula. It's just, it is definitely God's country. Now, it can turn on you like a mother-in-law if the weather goes bad. But I won a golf tournament out there, I don't know, 10, 11 years ago. And we had one of those kind of bipolar days where the sun was shining one hole and it was hailing, sleeting on us the next hole. And you know, then you're tying on to the cart, trying to stay on the ground on the next hole. It was just insane. And
yeah.
And the truth is, I made a comment. I said, there's no better place in the world to be miserable with the weather than at Pebble Beach. And it's true. It is just absolutely gorgeous, whether it's rain, sun, shine, wind. And the golf course holds up all the time. It is incredible. And I love going out there, and I cherish every opportunity.
And I assume you feel pretty good for Paul too, right? I mean, you're all out there doing the best you can do, but as we've all talked about on the PGA Tour Champions, you guys have been in the game for a long, long time, and the bonds are strong, and they've sometimes go back 30 and 40 years for a lot of you guys or 20 years or more to each other. So kind of neat to see Stanky, come out of nowhere, no status or anything else, and do as well as he's done. Actually, the last two tournaments that he's played in, he's done extremely well.
Yeah, so Paul and I, yes, we've known each other a long time, and I think Paul is a wonderful, wonderful human being, and obviously he's a very talented golfer. He went through a rough patch, kind of just like I did, and hung it up for a while. So he got started maybe 6 or 9 months before me, and he and I have been doing this from the outside, trying to fight our way in through Monday qualifiers, through begging for sponsor picks, it's the toughest tour, I think, you know, to actually crack in, because everything is based off of accumulation of what you've done in the past. And if you're on the outside, it's very tough to crack. So to see Paul after, you know, all that time off and now been doing it a year and a half, to see him starting to really come into his own and get some of the results is wonderful for him, but it's also encouraging for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, that I've said again and again, the PGA Tour Champions, the level of competition is so high and so tight. Everyone's so close. On the PGA Tour, I don't think that, well, the level of play is tough on the PGA Tour, but I think PGA Tour Champions is unbelievably difficult, especially to break into.
Yeah, it is. It's very hard. They've got all of these little categories that, you know, to fill the fields, and they're very protective, and you're getting more and more good players who are coming out that it was very difficult to win in our age bracket. So they base it off of wins and money. And obviously they're very deferential to the Hall of Famers and to the guys that have won, you know, a dozen tournaments, as they should be. Those are the names. But in this time where you have more and more good players and quality players that are coming out, there's also this rush to try to limit access and trying to cut down on the field sizes and trying to make it more, I don't want to use the word more of an exhibition, but it's, you know, they want to try to make it more special. So the access is just getting choked down. When you got guys like Dean Wilson, who, you know, almost won in Canada, and he's gotten in one tournament this year and maybe two, right? Just can't get in, but they're still very good players.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of us.
I'm curious too. And we're talking with Harrison Frazier, PGA Tour Champions player, PGA Tour winner, back in the day. And when you mentioned that, and I can't even remember
in where I grew up, Harrison did.
Poncho's Cheese.
Across the river from Poncho's restaurant. Poncho's Cheese Dip, yeah. The FedEx St. Jude, yeah.
That's what Frank remembers most, on Poncho's Cheese.
Well, I grew up on Poncho's Cheese Dip, Harrison. That's, you know, Poncho's.
Yeah, drinks there, too.
I loved it. I mean, oh, my gosh, it was so good. still dealing with heart issues and cholesterol, but that's beside the point.
Yeah.
Come to Texas. Yeah, we use real cheese here.
Oh, there you go. Thank you. Harrison. Thank you.
How did you enjoy Southwind, by the way?
So I loved Southwind. Obviously, it was very special to me and a great place. But in the beginning, to be honest with you, I hated it. It was
Most people do.
You know, when it was hotter than Hades, and they had bent grass greens, and you know the ball just plugged and exploded. It felt like it was a race to 24 under par. you know, just didn't have the energy that, that, you know, you felt like it could. And when they converted the golf course over and went a different strand of Zoysia, I believe, and they put Bermuda grass in on the greens and in the collars, you know, the whole nature and complexity of the golf course changed.
Absolutely.
So, and I feel like that's a good thing. I think, you know, golfers, especially tour level golfers, want to be challenged, and more importantly, they want their opponents to be punished for bad shots. So if a guy they're playing against clinks a 5-iron out there and the ball just implodes on the green, and I hit a nice 8-iron in there that spins back and we're at the same distance from the hole, that's very frustrating. So you want to get rewarded, and you want to see others punished.
Yeah, Southwind has been through some big changes for the better, by the way, over the years, yeah.
I would agree with that, yes. Yes, I would agree.
And for those who are listening, Memphis, Tennessee, in August, or actually, you know, May, June, July, August, but August especially, is brutal. I mean, the humidity is 95%+, and the temperature's in the mid to high 90s. So it's a brutal, brutal walk. When Al Geiberger won, by the way, Harrison, at the old Colonial Country Club, it was a different style walk. It was very hilly if you played that course. Yes. And it was people were dropping, I mean, literally dropping to their knees, and just exhaustion from the heat and humidity. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that when I won there, I think it was the second or third year that they had moved it to first week of June, I believe.
Yes. Yes.
And you still get a little bit of breeze in the first part of June. It was hot, don't make any mistake. But, you know, it was a low 80s starting out, and it got up into the low 90s with a little breeze. That's very tolerable. In the beginning, man, it'd be 97, 98, 99 degrees with no wind, and it just sucked the life out of you.
Yeah.
And it's a very, very tough walk, to your point. But I'm a big fan, and the people are fantastic. FedEx, everything that they've done for golf, and specifically the PGA Tour, is just, you know, none of us could ever thank them enough. So,
Harrison, I'm curious. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. Just occurred to me too when you're talking about how tough it is on the Champions Tour, PGA Tour Champions, that Stephen Elkers. I mean, I've got to own up to this. I don't know an awful lot about the guy, and yet, when you talk about how hard it is, and you've got the Bernhard Langers and guys that have won majors and guys that have won a dozen times, dude, where did he come from? I mean, here's a guy that is taking up and winning a lot of tournaments and leading money lists and everything else, and I don't recall his career at all.
So Stephen and I, actually, we turned 50 almost within a month of each other, and I've known him a little bit. He had a brief stint on the PGA Tour. I can't remember when, and played on some Corn Ferry for a little while, but Stephen was always a really good player. He didn't have the firepower, I think, at the time, and maybe got in his own head on the PGA Tour, but I give him all the credit in the world. He never wavered from what he wanted to do, and I think this is so important. Looking back, you know, I wished that when I lost my status and when things got hard and physically I couldn't move and I just needed a break, you know, taking off 5 years from competitive golf, your pencil doesn't quite stay sharp. And Steve, he kept playing. He fought for every opportunity to play anywhere around the world to keep his pencil sharp, ready for the exam. And when he came out, you know, his first or second week, I can't remember which one, he was ready. He was game sharp. And he was ready to play and ready to perform, and he made the most of his opportunity. I certainly wish I would have done that, and I bet there's a lot of guys that are playing now that wish they would have done that too, because he's proven that there's the roadmap, right? It's there. All you got to do is get in, and if you're ready to play. So what Paul did, and I don't want to speak for him, and then what I know what I'm doing, is, you know, kind of using this to try to sharpen our pencil while we're, you know, in the middle of playing and trying to make the most of our opportunity, which is difficult. So I think, and he's done great. I mean, I think he's made $3 or $4 million just in the last 15 months alone. So
that's what I'm saying. Crazy.
Hats off to him.
Yeah. Good for him is right. That's the way it works. But it makes it, as Frank was saying too, so competitive because there's guys like him that a lot of us don't even know or didn't know anything about. And they're doing really great. And it's another guy you got to get past, right, to get up on the leaderboard and make some money.
Yeah, every year there's some, you know, there's a couple of guys that win that might have only had one win on the PGA Tour, maybe two. You get guys that break out that are, you know, either club pros or had real day jobs for most of their careers. You get the Rob Labritzes of the world. You get the Scott Parels, you know, who are wonderful players that seize the opportunity and they can flat out play. And then you've got a whole bunch of guys like me and Stenko and Dean Wilson and Matt Gogels and the, you know, the Jonathan Kays, and Jay Williamson's. I'm thinking of, you know, there's dozens and dozens of guys who had, you know, decent times on the tour, but not good enough that, you know, now there's just a big volume of guys that are trying to thread the needle into a very, very small.
Yeah. And the level of golf.
Very, very small eye hole.
Again, the level of competition is it's second to none. I absolutely love PGA Tour champions, and I've said this again and again. It doesn't get enough coverage. We probably will launch another show just to cover PGA Tour champions because no one's doing it. And it's just like interviews. You know, you guys are so accessible, Harrison. I mean, you guys, anytime we ask you, if I'm out there, like in Tucson or wherever, and I ask you guys for an interview, y'all always do it. I mean, it's just, you're so open with your time that, and it's interesting stuff. You've got great life experiences out on tour
to
talk about. It's refreshing. Absolutely.
Right. You don't have to go through three agents as you do on the PGA Tour now.
And really.
The way,
Well, most of us don't have agents anymore. We don't.
That's what
need
I'm saying. Yeah.
You know, and it's a shame that actually in this where we are right now, the level of production, PGA Tour production has taken over the Champions Tour stuff. They've cut out cameras and cut out talent, and they're actually making it less of a priority, which I think is, you know, pretty short-sighted when you think about the guys that are coming out, specifically a guy named Eldrick who might show up and play. If I were them, I would be positioning this thing to kind of take off.
Well, don't tell them.
Ready to go.
Don't tell. We're going to do that.
Okay, you guys got it. It's y'all's gig.
It's our secret. Yeah.
I'll tell you, you have one guy, I have to tell this, and I'll shut up, but maybe not, but one guy on PGA Tour Champions that lived in Ponte Vedra, lives in Ponte Vedra, whatever, and was next-door neighbors to my girlfriend for years there at Sawgrass. Every time I would see him, even to this day, he would be on the air and he'd say, oh, by the way, Frank, did you marry that girl yet? Are you going to get married to her? And he would always ask her that. So I told Fred Fred Funk could no longer be on the show. You can't come on Golf Talk America anymore.
I'm guessing you didn't marry her, did you?
No, I didn't. And he would throw me under the bus every time. You didn't marry her? That was a mistake, Frank.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, thanks a lot, Fred. Appreciate it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, Fred was moving in on you. That's what he was doing.
He's very happy. He's very happy at home.
He was. Hey, Harrison, I'm curious, too, we switch gears a little bit to the LIV Tour and what's going on there. We haven't talked to you about that, and everybody has an opinion about it, and it's certainly not going away, and it came out again in the last couple of days with the guys talking and Phil dropping out of the lawsuit, but at the same time saying, we're not going back to just the best players on the PGA Tour. Somehow we're going to have to make this all work with the LIV Tour and what's going on the PGA Tour. Patrick Reed has refiled his lawsuit because he wants to now include more stuff about what the Golf Channel has said about him. Now he's on the LIV Tour, that he's working with terrorists and he's doing all the things that he's claiming. It's even heightened because of the LIV Tour and what's happening there and some of the comments about that. So that's a big ball of wax I'm throwing at you there. But what do you think about all that? What do you think about the LIV Tour and the implications of everything else in the world of golf that it's encircled now?
Well, that's a big one to take on. A year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I would have told you I didn't think this had a chance other than for Norman's, you know, tenacious and what appears to be vindictive mission. You know, other than that, I would not have given this a chance at any life. And He's pulled it off. They're not going anywhere. It is fractured. The golf community, there's no question. You got, you know, friends and players who are pitted against each other. They're not going anywhere. Neither is the PGA Tour. They've all made their stances pretty obvious. As a player, you know, I wouldn't just bow and cower to every wish and every demand that they had, but I also don't know if threatening, you know, the players at the beginning and puffing up and you know, was the right stance to take in the beginning from the PGA Tour. I think, you know, I would love to see them get in a room. You know, it doesn't have to be public, right? But I just like to know that our golf leaders are at least trying to figure out a way to coexist.
And yes, I agree.
I think it's interesting that people are dropping out of this lawsuit, because the lawsuit is the number one hindrance of any ability to talk and chat and reach a resolution. And that's a 3 to 5 years down the road probably before this lawsuit is fixed. So maybe there's some movement back there with these guys dropping out of the lawsuits, that maybe they can sit down and figure out a way to peacefully coexist. I still can't, in my own head, I can't figure out how that is, but there's people a lot smarter than me.
Well, they talk about they want to grow the game, Harrison. And I just, if they want to grow the game, stop fighting, start talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that in the short term, this might have grown the game, or at least eyeballs on the game, because there's a lot of people out there that love to see a train wreck and they love controversy.
Yeah.
You know, so people voyeuristically are looking into the game of golf to see what's going on. But are we really creating fans and viewers and golfers? And I don't think so. You know, I don't think we are. I think this is off-putting to some people. And, you know, they've got to get together and figure out some way. You know, it doesn't mean we all got to sit around and sing Kumbaya, but there's got to be some way. Maybe the PGA Tour's got too many tournaments, and we need to create some weeks and some windows to let those guys go do that. And I don't know the answer. But like I said, I mean, go find a think tank and put these people together and figure it out. So
we're talking with Harrison Frazier, PGA Tour champions. I'm curious too, Harrison, if you put yourself back to when you're 28 years old and this comes out, is it something you definitely look at? I mean, are you against anything in particular about it? A lot of people bring up the source of the money as being a big reason why. And the PGA Tour, by the way, is countersued. Did you see that, Frank? The PGA Tour now is countersuing the LIV Tour. So now it's only escalating, right? The lawyers are the ones that get rich over all this. And Harrison, you're right.
And social media influencers and I won't mention any names, but we all know who they are that are the nothing more than proponents of themselves as influencers. This is where I get on my soapbox, guys. Yeah. Social media, to me, can just go away, because it allows people to hide behind a wall. If you're going to fight with somebody, be prepared to get hit right in the mouth, right back, like we all did when we all grew up. But to throw jabs from behind the cloak of anonymity is just wrong on all levels. I can't stand it. Yeah. And it really brought out the worst in social media in regard to golf. I mean, if you watch all the fighting, I can't even look at it.
Yeah. Well, I was playing with a guy last week. As y'all know, it's a pro-am format. And he's a marketing guy, really smart. He's got his head in everything, and he actually said social media should not be called social media. It should be called isolation media.
Absolutely.
And I actually wanted to go up and give him a hug, because I just thought that was the simplest, one of the most insightful things. And we're seeing things torn down right now. We're seeing kids that are struggling. We're seeing people with, you know, more distant, more away from people, more anxiety, more venom in their lives than ever before. And you ask about the, do I have an issue with the LIV Tour? I'm not on social media. I don't read it. I don't look at it. Of course, I have an issue with, you know, who the Saudis are, but I'm also not naive enough to think that, you know, I don't make some of my money based off of stuff that they're involved with anyways. And so if I was 28 and the LIV came around, I would probably say no, because I think that I would want to play on the PGA Tour. When I was 28, things were going great. I was making a lot of money and, you know, a little bit of the toast of the town and touted as a young gun and got all the upside in the world. But I got to tell you, to be honest, at 32, you know, once things start trending downwards, if Liv comes around while you still have some branding, yes, I think I would have taken that money. And go do it, a chance to set my family and my life up, yes.
Well, there's it's even in the media, guy Harrison. It's they're, you know, pulling different media personalities over to their side and talking to others under the table or behind the door, whatever. And the media is all fighting amongst each other. I can't believe you would even consider going there or talking to those people. I mean, it's very polarizing, totally polarizing.
If you read certain articles, Frank, right? Yeah. I mean, you see in Harrison, you know almost which writers from publication to publication are for and against.
Oh, yeah.
Because just the wording that they use about it is almost like, you know, who's paying you to write this article?
The Saudi tour,
Everybody's now a defector. I mean, that's a harsh word, right?
That's a defector. Hard word.
And you're like, okay.
Snowden's a defector.
If I'm, yeah, you know? I'm defecting. Yeah, right. And it's like, if again, I have a chance. And Harrison, this is the insight I'm kind of looking for from you, too, is now that you're 50 plus versus 28, when the future is ahead of you and making money. And at that point, like we all did at 28, you're going to make millions and millions of dollars. It never ends, right? Everything's great. But now you look back and you're going, okay, if I could have pocketed 10 million, whatever some of these money, certainly the big guys are getting 50 and 100 million plus. If you could put that, and now you look at it back when you're 50 going, well, now you set yourself up. It's a different mindset, isn't it? To kind of know financially, it doesn't last forever. You might think you're in the golden zone and you're Bryson DeChambeau or whoever, but you don't know when it ends, when you have injuries like you've had and had to deal with, and nobody's there to give you a paycheck. You don't have guaranteed contracts. You're not the NBA. Is it a different perspective you look at it now when you're 50 plus than you would have even at 28?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think one of the things that I think the tour and everybody else have misjudged or underestimated is the fact that once guys get to a certain age and things begin, as soon as you start seeing a downward trend, right, whether you can tell that your body doesn't feel right, or you can feel something coming on with your putting, or you start getting, you know, distractions, the minute you start losing that laser focus, it becomes stressful to try to maintain at a super high level to make those cuts and continue to perform at that high level. I think everybody misjudged the fact that these guys still want to go play golf. They still want to compete. They want to have a life just like they always have. But the guaranteed money, the fact that I've built a name and built a brand and I'm going to get paid and rewarded for that, despite the fact that I might have a few issues going on here that are hindering my performance, I think is a massive, massive deal. It's not about looking for a paid easy street. I honestly don't think Dustin Johnson or Brooks Koepka or any of these guys are happy if they go out and go shoot 70, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 and getting paid their money. They want to go compete. They want to go win. But the writing is on the wall. All of us see it at some point in time that this is going to end. And when I see these 22, 23, 24-year-olds walking out on the range the first time, they got swagger. They want my job. They look different than me. They are more athletic. They are hungrier than I am. And I can't do this forever. That's the realization you have. So whatever point that is, some guys get it at, you know, some of them it happens at 32 and some it happens at 45 and some it, you know, maybe never happens. But, you know, that guarantee against what you might do is a huge, huge deal.
Harrison, based on, you know, your experience coming up in the PGA Tour and your successes all through college and PGA Tour, what do you think about what's being said today? And it's been said for a while. The players coming out of college are PGA Tour tournament ready more so today than they were 25 years ago, let's say.
Yes, that's two parts. Yes, they are more ready than we were. Yes, but are they all ready? No, they're not. There's a you got to get burned. You've got to lose by some experience. You can have programs out there like Decade and, you know, all the coaching and stuff to try to shorten that gap of learning, but you still have got to feel your heart in your throat. You got to feel that pulse in your arms and shoulders and not being able to, you know, it's difficult to control that shaking. You've got to get used to looking up and saying, you know, for me, you got to get used to looking at Davis Loves and the Fred Couples and the Hal Suttons and the Nick Faldos and realize I'm going to compete with them. That is something you cannot, you can't fast track that. But yeah. you can learn the percentages and odds and game management and course management quicker. I think they're better athletes. They've been working harder. They've had better instruction than we had. And they've got a few extra tools. So, yes, they are more ready, but I don't believe that a huge percentage of them are truly tournament ready. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So, yeah, I would not want to have to walk up on the tee box and look over and see Steve Elkington standing there with his swing. You know, that wouldn't be comforting to me, or you, for that fact.
Can you imagine a guy coming out of college? So Pearson Cootie, for example. He's a wonderful kid and a fantastic young player. I think the world of him. No matter how well prepared you are, how many Masters you've been to, no matter how tough you are, you get out there late on a Saturday afternoon, and even if you're not playing with him, and you see Rory McIlroy hitting balls on the other side of the range, you're going to shake just a little bit. That's, you know, maybe not just once, twice. You know, it's going to take to get used to just being around them. So, you know, maybe they've been told, you know, how to handle it, but until you do it, you just don't know what you're going to do.
Right.
So. It's a big deal. I got the very first cut that I made on the PGA Tour. I got paired with Nick Faldo on Saturday. And Nick was only about 2 years, I think, away from winning his last Masters. And I don't remember anything about my round, but I remember the shots he hit because I was so hyper-focused and so just in awe of this person that I was playing with. And yeah. It's a tough thing to get over. Eventually you do, but it's a tough thing to get over.
Sure. Let's get back to Harrison Frazier. Where will we see you next?
So next week's tournament is in Jacksonville, as a matter of fact, at Furyk and Friends.
Okay. I'm supposed to be there, so we're going to see the weather.
Good. We'll see if they have it. Let's pray for Florida right now. My caddy lives in Naples.
Oh, Lord.
And they took a hell of a whop yesterday.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
I've been sending out messages. I haven't heard from him today. I got one from him last night that they were okay. So, but I've got to do a qualifier. I'm not in the tournament. I'm 18th or 20th alternate. And, you know, that's just part of the day, weekly struggle. So I'll go do the qualifier on Monday, hopefully get in, go play well.
Did they move that qualifier over to the Dye course, the Valley course?
They did, yes. They moved it over to the Dye Valley, which I think is going to be a great test.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these qualifier sites that we have don't really put a premium on ball striking. It's, you know, it becomes a putting contest, and if you've looked at any of the scores lately, it's taking 6, 7, 8 under par to qualify for these things. So the Valley course is going to make us strike our golf ball, and which – you know, if I'm having a decent day, I feel like I've got a good shot. You know, anybody can have a bad day or a good day, but I feel pretty decent about it. I don't want to jinx anything. I better tap on some wood.
That Valley course, a lot of our listeners who may or may not have played TPC Sawgrass Stadium, but the Valley course is one heck of a test of golf. It's not a pushover whatsoever. Totally different vibe.
Yeah, it is not a pushover. You've got a whole bunch of dangerous shots. You know, clearly it doesn't get the exposure that its big brother does, you know, right next door. But that Valley course is like you said, no pushover at all. And it's a wonderful design.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And it's a real treat to play.
Yeah, it really is. I've enjoyed it. There's not a flat lie on that golf course.
it's and I don't think there's a hole without water or something.
Oh yeah.
I mean it's oh yeah. You know, visually typical Pete Dye. It's visually intimidating. You know, but you take on those dangerous looking lines and you can get at it.
So you play the Valley course. Okay, you make it. You're going to play. Yep. And, boy, what do you get next? My old country club, you get Tim Aquana, which is not a pushover either.
No, and the feedback from Tim Aquana last year was incredible. The players loved it.
And, oh, yeah. Great, great track.
And Jim and Tabitha do an amazing job there. Adam Renfro has done a great job with that event. Jim's done a wonderful job engaging with the community and getting, all of his old business partners to pitch in. And so nothing but positive reviews coming from the guys that played last year. And I know it's a high profile event. I hope to play.
Yeah. I hope you get to play. I absolutely do. Tim Aquana is over there right by the yacht club, right off of the St. John's River, which has a huge bay area. So that's my worry about what's going to happen in Jacksonville is what happens with the storm and that, that water's just right there. It's right down the street from Tim Aquana. So,
yeah. Oh yeah, that's a good point. I do know that they were trying, I talked to Jim about it last week with the storm coming. I think they were going to take down a bunch of structures, to try to just prepare as best they could. It is a week away, 8 days away from, the first day of competition, and I gotta think a course like that could drain if it got water, but not.
They redid that course, it drained a few years ago, so it drains very, very well now, and took out a lot of trees, so it could breathe.
Good.
Yeah, it's great track.
Good, they gotta breathe.
Oh yeah.
Well, I hope to see you there.
Yeah, I hope so too. I hope to see you there, and I hope to see you on the leaderboard.
Perfect.
It's a fun place to be.
Yeah, boy.
That's what you're aiming for. Well, Harrison, as always, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it. Thanks for your insight. We always look forward to that. And best of luck in Jacksonville. Hope it all works out and you and Frank get together and have some iced tea or something. Yeah. And, we'll look for you on the leaderboard in Jacksonville next week.
All right. You got it. Tim, Frank, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Harrison. Best of luck to you in the future.
Thank you.
You'll be good.
Okay, you too. Harrison Frazier, PGA Tour champion, and
nice.
Again,
all around nice guy, super
great
person,
guy. And very, very insightful in this, and for people to understand, they always think golfers, what a life! Oh, it's the best. It's the easiest way to make a living, pro golfers. It's not.
No,
it's not that
tough.
Easy. Can you imagine having to go there to qualify? And if you don't, you come home.
Yeah,
it's like okay, you're gone for a week, gone for a few days, warm up, practice, and you have a bad day, and it might be a putt here or there, a stroke. It's a hard way. And for guys like this that are 50 and 50 plus, you kind of think at some point it gets easier. It almost, as you said, gets harder now that you try to get on the Champions Tour because there's so many good guys.
They're so good, and
people that come out of wherever they come from, and you got to now do what he's doing and what Stankowski's had to do.
I meant to say when we talked about kids coming out, the young people coming out of school now and all that, the course management skills and the interpersonal relationship skills that you must have out on the PGA Tour. They have that on PGA Tour Champions. They've been together all these years. They know the quirks. They know what's going to get to Fred Funk or what's going to get to, Harrison Frazier a little bit.
Yeah.
And like you said, you hate to see a guy hit a shot in there and the green sticks for him, and then you hit the perfect 8-iron in there and suck it back and you're in the same position.
Yeah.
And a guy hits a lucky shot,
And as you said, when you go to those different events, the one they had here for the Club Corp, first one, inaugural at Las Colinas Country Club, you can seriously, even without a media credential that we have, you can be within 10 feet of those guys hitting on the range. It's not like there's high level security. You go to PGA Tour events, and in all honesty, it gets a little bit more and more isolated, fans to the players all the time. And yes, there's places where they walk from hole to hole and you can put your hand out and maybe they slap your hand, maybe they don't. But as far as the real access, PGA Tour is just tougher. It's gotten that way. As I said, you got to go through three agents. PGA Tour champions, guys are like, I got a minute. I got 10 minutes.
Yeah.
How many questions you got? Yeah,
well, that's
fine.
In the lobby of the out in Arizona, Omni National.
Yeah.
During the Coligard Classic. Now, We're set up in the lobby every year. Past couple of years we haven't. COVID kind of changed that. But we were set up in the lobby, and players just are walking in, checking in with their wives, and their wives will come over and say hi while their husband's checking in, and I'll say, go get him and bring him over here. So, I mean, so we were just doing interviews like crazy, if you remember. So
Yeah,
that's fun.
Anyway, we'll see. Maybe it'll work out in Jacksonville. When you got to pull the trigger on that? You got to find out, well, I guess, a few days before you
I'm gonna call,
to see if it's safe. And
yeah, I'm going to wait for today to see what happens. I sent Bucky a text and Jackie, my good friend Jackie, down there. And so, and my good buddy Jeff. So it just, I'm just holding out right now to see what's going to happen. They'll have the tournament, I'm sure. But the issue is going to be if Bucky gets damaged where I'm going to stay, then I've got to go grab a room somewhere. Are the rooms going to be available? Or are people checking into those rooms?
Yeah.
You know, what's going to be?
From South Florida.
From even from Daytona or Orlando, that you know, or whatever, people have moved around.
They got high winds and things.
Yeah, some New Smyrna Beach, Volusia County is getting hammered as we speak, and it's the water, it's the flooding issue. So I don't know. I want to be there, but I would need to get out of here, you know, Monday.
Yeah.
So get to be there for the week, the pro-ams, the three pro-ams for this event. It is a big, big social. Jacksonville Society social event too, because of Jim and Tabitha Furyk and what they do with their foundation, which is fabulous. And I should have called Jim. We should have had him on today. But we had Harrison, and Harrison's as good as Jim Furyk, you know.
Yeah, darn right, yeah, darn tootin'. Hey, you know where I'm playing next week?
Where?
Next week?
You just played Preston with the other day. How'd you play?
The sixth. Played all right. Played all right. Okay. Nothing great, but okay. I had a very nice... I wanted to par the last hole. I caught a limb. I had to hit this. I had to hit that. Anyway, I'm left with a up and down from 70 yards shot, and I'll be darned if I didn't.
You hold
focus
it.
On my inner Jordan and hit a nice little wedge from 70 yards out to about 2 feet and made my putt and made my par. So, you know how golf is, right? You can have a lot of other things happen. If you get something that happens the way you want it to, you're like, there you go. That's what it's supposed to be.
That's
like
what you talk about.
Yeah.
Always look for the positive things in life.
So in 2 weeks, a week and a half, I'm going to, 2 weeks from today,
Bermuda.
Actually, I'm going to Lajitas.
Yeah.
And Lajitas is that resort that's owned by a wealthy oil and gas guy here in Dallas, and it's literally on the Rio Grande. It's down on the border of Mexico in the Big Bend National Park area. And Lanny Watkins redesigned the golf course there about 10 years ago or so. It's called Blackjack. And going down there to play for, fly here out of Love Field. And they have a charter that we fly out of. And
need a shirt.
I'll play there
for
the weekend.
Need a shirt. Go to the pro shop.
I don't get shirts from anybody.
Hey, I need a shirt from down there. Since I can't,
the one thing you don't need is a shirt. The one thing you don't need is a shirt.
Our shoes, our slacks, our shorts.
Am I saying give me a shirt from Jacksonville? No.
Well, you didn't, but I was going to. But now
you're not. Don't. I don't need one.
What do you want? I get you a iHeart Jacksonville, Florida shirt.
If I get one
the
more
beach.
Shirt, my wife puts me in the garage.
I know.
I can't sleep at night.
I know.
It's like, how many more?
No, it's shoes.
None.
It's shoes. She's my wife looks at the shoes and goes, you got to be kidding.
That's what I'm saying. You know, I mean, it's.
I've never seen those. Well, you've never seen about 30 pair that I have still sitting here new in the box.
Reminded me of you. I went to the Notre Dame game. I told you about that.
Yeah, you sent me pictures,
ago, right?
Yeah, from the stadium.
And I sit down and have a drink with some friends the week after I get back. And my buddy goes, so you bring me a warm up or you know something from Notre Dame? I go, no, I don't go shopping for people. When I go, I went to the Notre Dame game to go with my son and my friend and my wife. And I, why would I think to get? And he kind of looks at me like, well, I don't know, just because it would have been nice.
I'm your friend.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, so I'm, okay, now I'm a jerk? I'm a jerk if I don't think
pretty much, yeah.
Everybody a,
I think
a
they
pole,
use a stronger
a
word than jerk.
Jeez, seriously.
Well, we go to the Masters every year. What do they say when you go to the Masters?
Everybody
calls you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And everybody asks
me
for swag. Hey, I know you've got a ton of swag. You know, I've got a golf tournament coming up. Can you supply? I took 30 hats and a huge garbage bag, brand new golf hats from all over the country, and said, here, give these away.
Yeah.
Get rid of these hats. They're sitting in my garage.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm with you. But anyway, I'm going to Lajitas, and it'll be fun. I'll talk to you about it we'll have another show or two before that, but when I come back. So it should be fun. We go on a Thursday, come back on a Sunday. And, like I said, it's It's funny. It's West Texas. If you drove there, Frank, just to give you a little clue. If you drove there, it's about 12 hours. Yeah. It's like you drive forever. You're still in Texas. But a flight, it's like an hour and 15 minutes. Yeah.
But you go through the King Ranch, right? Or do you to go down there?
No, King Ranch is more south from there. This is more like towards El Paso.
Oh, that's right. Like that's
towards,
right.
Yeah, Stanky's old. He went to UTEP.
Yep.
So it'd be out towards El Paso. But even, it's still, again, how far you can go, you're still about 3 hours from UTEP, from El Paso. So, I mean, still not,
Texas
you're
is
not
big.
At the border of Texas. Yeah, it's still got a ways to go. But it's just desert. And remember when I said you know, if you go to East Texas, West Texas, it really is a unique state in that sense that you go to one and it's, you know, big, I say big mountains, but I mean, there's 7,000-8,000 foot mountains there. They're all deserty looking. And it's kind of like in the Arizona area in New Mexico.
Yeah.
And
Tucson's that way.
Yeah. And cactus and just desert. And then you go
snakes.
Two hours to the east and it's, you feel like you're in kind of Georgia and tall pine trees and all that. So this will be neat. I'm looking forward to going. So
that'll be fun. When is this now? Yeah.
2 weeks from today.
All right. Cool.
And today's Thursday, right? Yeah. 2 weeks from today.
2 weeks from today.
By the way, another connection there with Texas. We mentioned the Forbes richest. Frank just got booted off that list. I'm sorry to hear that, Frank.
Dropped off.
The market's just not doing what it's supposed to do.
No, it's not. Don't even go there.
It's going to hurt you.
I got to go to work.
The richest man in the country is also the richest Texan. They had a list of the richest Texans, and it is one Elon Musk, who's moved to Austin area. But his He's SpaceX, right?
Yes, SpaceX.
And then Bezos is Blue Origin.
Correct.
They both have their Cape Canaverals, if you will, are in Texas. One is more in South Texas, and Bezos is in West Texas, where William Shatner, remember he sent William Shatner up into space?
Yeah.
And some of these other famous people have gone up. And that's not too far from Marfa. Marfa is another area there that's kind of near Lajitas. Don't think I'm going to get on property, but that'd be kind of cool to see some spaceships going up from West Texas. Anyway, how much do you think? Here's my ultimate question for you. What is Elon Musk worth? No Googling. What do you think
he's worth? Probably close to $1 trillion.
No, that's too much.
$500 billion.
God, listen to you. See, this is you're one of those guys. What do you think I did today, right? What do you think I shot? And you shot a really good round. You had like a 75. And your friend goes, I don't know, like 63? You're like, well, no, I didn't shoot 63. You know, you're like, they take the wind right out of you. No, he's worth $251 billion.
Oh, that's not much.
That's a lot. That's the number one in the world. That's pretty big.
Who's number two, Bezos?
Number two in Texas. I didn't see on the list. I just saw the Texas. Oh, no, I saw America. I saw the America list. The number two is a big drop-off. Bezos had to give away a lot, too, remember?
Oh, yeah.
He's giving some to charity else he got divorced.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So a Walmart
that was expensive.
Yeah.
I'm not going there.
I think he's down to like 150, 140, something like that. Bezos is the second richest Texan is down to 85. So he's got them by a long shot. And that is an heir to the Walmart fortune. There's if Walmart, Sam Walton hadn't died, Frank, if Sam Walton hadn't died, he'd probably be well ahead of Musk because all his kids are worth like 80 billion.
Yeah, I know.
And he's got like five of them. So
and he was from Arkansas.
Arkansas. Bentonville. And a lot of the Waltons are in there too. Jerry Jones, good for Jerry, jumped up a bit. He's at $16 billion.
How do you think Prescott's feeling these days standing on the sidelines watching going, probably not going to be a season for me next year.
See if I get in there or not. They got this other quarterback who's winning games.
Good.
He makes about $1 million a year, and I make $40 million. So. That's where Jerry's kind of going. I still got to write you checks.
Yeah, we'll send you back to Mississippi State and let you teach.
But see, that
PE.
We'll bring this back around full circle to Harrison. A guy like Dak Prescott gets injured and still collects the money, right?
Right.
As all these other athletes do. Harrison gets injured. Phil Mickelson, Tiger gets injured. Now, I know Tiger's got plenty of money. But if Tiger gets injured, he's not making any money from anybody. PGA Tour doesn't send him a check. Because, you're on the tour. Okay, you're injured. Okay, we'll take it.
Well, it depends on what you wrote in your contract.
That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure.
In regard to your sponsors, too.
Well, that's your sponsor, but that's what I'm saying.
With regard to your sponsors.
Dak Prescott gets sponsors, too, right? He still
gets
Gatorade.
Well, the kids in college do, too, now.
I'm saying, but he gets his Gatorade and all that kind of stuff, too. I'm saying the pros, and this is where Mickelson is kind of making a stand, is we need to be, whether you think it's fair or not is your argument, but we need to be more like the other sports, and almost every other sport, including international soccer, and all the other things, Messi and all the other, they have guaranteed money that they make 20, 30, 10, $50 million a year. And hurt, not hurt, play, not play, they get their money. In golf, they're like, no, just play better. Just get out there and do it.
Just play
better.
That's
a tough, yeah. that's a tough way to, so the guaranteed money, and that's why I like the insight of Harrison too, as you look back in your, you know, future and your past and go, okay, now at 50, yeah, would I take $25 million, put it in the bank? Yeah. Because at 28, I didn't think, well, I don't need it. And that's where Rory, I think, falls in that category. Rory's like, well, I don't need the money, so why would I do that? Why would any of you do it? Well, they're not all you, Rory.
I think personally, Rory's getting a little overexposed these days.
I think he needs to lighten up. I really do, because I think it's going to, A, I think they're going to come to some kind of agreement. There'll be some kind of merger. And at some point, Rory's going to have to play with the guys, DeChambeau and Koepka and Dustin Johnson and guys that he's ripped on. And been critical about. And okay, that
they're going to be shaving their hosels
and
getting ready.
do you need to be right? Do you need to be at odds with it? You can just disagree. Yeah. That's okay. I can say I don't want to be a part of that, but it's getting personal, yeah. Right? It's like, how dare they? Why would you do that?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's all the stuff. I think we're done, Frank. We got a lot in there.
Well, I don't know. We did get a lot in. It was really good having Harrison. He's a first class individual.
He's a great guy. Hey, by the way, thanks to our sponsors. Frank, what do you got to say about PXG?
Well, you and I have to do some interviews this afternoon. We won't give away everything, but upcoming on the next show, you're going to hear from some of the folks at PXG with some really new information that's not out there yet.
You're still loving the clubs?
Absolutely. I love my PXG irons and woods. My driver's incredible. It is just tweaked. So I love it.
Nice. Perfect. And, of course, Club Corp, now invited. Club Corp rebranding, invited. But go to clubcorp.com, find a great club near you that you can join, like Frank and I have. You get a membership at one. You get privileges all over the country. Clubcorp.com, still a website that you can go to and check it out. All right, we're out of time. Thank you to Harrison Frazier for being with us. We do appreciate it. Good luck in Jacksonville. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. We appreciate each and every one of you. Remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.